Welcome to the Inspired Intentions Podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I have some exciting news today. I am with my co-host once again, Rachel Colasino.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty great. I'm excited for this episode.
This is going to be a powerful one. How's the Windy City? Is it a bit nipply up there?
The Windy City is cold.
Yep.
Living up to its name. And the funny thing is, I've found that the wind blows in every single different direction. So if you're out for a walk or a run and you think you're running into the wind, you're running into the wind on the way back as well.
That's a fun fact. It must make your run streak a bit uncomfortable at times.
Just a little bit. I'm ready for the warmer weather for sure.
Do you know I ran the Chicago Marathon?
Actually, I did know that, Jeff. I heard you had a really fast time.
It was a super fast time. I was stoked because when you get to a flat course in a marathon, you always want to, you know, just drop the hammer. And I was super, super stoked. I ran under 3 hours and I didn't even get in the fountain at the park at the end. I was walking around feeling really good.
Well, you'll have to visit with Lindsay and Mia and then we can go back to the fountain.
As long as I have like a blow up mattress or something, that'd be great because the hotel costs are astronomical. So we might be able to make that work.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
Okay. So we are talking again about habits this episode. This is the third in our 4 series episode around habits.
Yes.
Last week, we talked about the difference between habits, goals, and outcomes, why it's super important to differentiate between the three. We talked about the fight that we had, got super vulnerable, had a reconciliation live on air.
That was a first for me. And I'm so glad we're on the same page now.
Yes. So this is the third episode. We're going to talk today about how habits work. We're going to talk about the habit loop, and we're going to look at habits in a different way, which I think is going to be really helpful.
Yes. Very nice overview, Rachel. We need to look at habits in a different way. No matter who you are out there, you've been looking at habits a little bit too far along the habit loop, and we need to make sure you know what the first things that happen that basically create habits. So I'm excited to break that down for everybody.
And we not only love your analogies, but we love your stories. Do you have a story for us today that might help illustrate what a habit loop is?
Yeah, so everybody has habit loops. And I think we sometimes notice the habit loops of those closest to us. If you think of, you know, a sibling, a parent, anybody in your life, you might, after today's episode, be able to understand parts of their habit loop. And you already understand what the habits are that they might have, but you're going to understand why they do what they do a little bit better. So for me, I really remember my mom. And Rachel, you know my mom, right?
She's really great.
She's super cool. She's one of those people that if you're in like a mall with her, of course, haven't all been a lot of stores these days altogether necessarily. Mm-hmm. She is someone you can walk away from in a store and she'll keep talking to you. Yeah. So when I was younger, I would super like trip her out. She'd be talking to me and I'd like take a hard left. And then people in the store would be like, oh my gosh, who's that lady talking to? So anyways, a quick glimpse into my childhood once again. And what is more important for this episode is sharing kind of her work life habit loop that I remember her being in when I was growing up.
And yeah, she was very successful in her career.
Super successful. I know you guys had long chats at an airport one time. Is that right?
Yeah. So I traveled with your mom to go to your wife's baby shower. And we were stuck in an airport for 8 hours.
Oh my gosh. And I believe you were only going to be at the baby shower for like 48 hours. So your 48 hours turned into like 32 after that point.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know my mom well. And in using her as an example, it's to highlight a very common habit loop that you who are listening today might really be aware of, or at least like really connect with. When we think about describing the habit loop, we want to keep it really simple today because it's complex. It's not something that's easy to break. So my mom's habit loop involves the amount of work she was doing, high number of hours, very successful. She worked her way up in one company. And she actually got her degree in chemical engineering. And Rachel, she became the director of marketing like you are for Skyterra Wellness.
Yeah, she is a smart lady.
Super smart, definitely hardworking. However, what happened is you could see she put a lot of energy into her work, and there was a lot of stress around it, 10-plus-hour days. So this was the first part of her loop. What happened over time is I noticed this in high school. It evolved into her coming home and doing something every single night. Do you have a guess of what that might be, Rachel?
Well, she probably needed something to relax after a stressful day.
Yes. So she would pop open the wine, and it might be a glass, maybe two, depends on how stressful that day was.
Yeah.
Now, to give you a glimpse of how much stress can just impact the body and impact how we feel, I remember in high school, she actually came down with an autoimmune disease. That guy got diagnosed at that time. And because of like the high amount of work, the hours she was putting in, she actually had to take a sabbatical for a few months. And I just want to pause there and make sure that as I describe this habit loop, even if the routine that you're falling into isn't necessarily having a glass of wine, we got to figure out how to break the habit loop specifically around stress, specifically around emotions and the things that come up for us every day. So I hope you're okay with that little pause, Rachel.
Yeah, no, that's important.
Yeah, right? Yeah, stress relief, self-care. So anyways, rounding out kind of this example, Rachel alluded to it there a second ago, why she wanted the glass of wine or the couple of glasses is she wanted to relax. She wanted to unwind from the day. Other words that we might describe this habit loop with is just she wanted to not have to think. Mm-hmm. Another adjective that might even come to mind is just numb. I don't know about you, Rachel, but do you ever have a busy day where like you want to stick your head into the snow in Chicago?
Once or twice. I think we all can relate,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Have you guys had any big snowstorms yet?
Yeah, we have actually. Getting used to it.
Mm.
Frigid, cold.
Cold, nipply. Yeah, I know how it is. I used to be up those ways, but just due east. So yeah. Does that make sense on that description of my mom's routine?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was her habit loop. So the habit loop, just I want to make sure I understand how you're describing it using that example. Very busy, stressful, driven at work.
Yes.
Working long days, comes home, needs to relax, of course.
Yes.
And so had a glass of wine or possibly two.
Yes. Now in looking at the loop, you're jumping to the reward where why she wants the glass of wine or two or whatever the routine is because she wants to relax. So as we go through this episode, we're going to spend some time giving some verbiage to each of these three steps of the habit loop.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what are the three steps, Jeff?
So what you were describing first there was her cue. Another word for this is her trigger. And when you think of anything that you do that's habitual, that's automatic, you do it because there is a cue or a trigger. There is something that initiates what's called the routine. And the routine in this case was drinking the wine. Just for the record, my mom is not an alcoholic. We are not describing that here. It is just explaining the point that sometimes we do things that make us feel good. So I just want to be clear, that's not what we're describing here today.
Right. No, there's no judgment. We're not saying that drinking wine at the end of the day is bad. That's not what we're saying.
Nope.
We're just using it as an illustration for what a habit loop looks like.
Yeah, because you've never done this, right, Rachel? You've never done this.
Well, you know, I was going to say I did enjoy a glass of wine with your mom when we were stuck in the airport for
In the
hours.
Airport? Really? Man, I bet since COVID, those sales have gone down. But I always, you know, if you're in between a connecting flight or a delay, that makes a lot of sense. But it's once again, if you get delayed, it's a cue or a trigger.
Right. So we've talked about the cue or the trigger. You mentioned the reward, but you did say there were three steps. So the third or in between those two would be what?
The routine. So the cue and trigger is step one. That's what initiates the routine, which is step two. So routine, another word for that is the behavior. Now, when you might be assessing your habits at home, listening to this episode, you're probably thinking in terms of good habits and bad habits at this point already. Now, we can have positive cues and triggers that push us to do the things we want to do. And we can also have negative triggers that push us to do things that we really want to do less of, things that we don't want to be part of our life as much anymore.
And the difference between bad and good, positive and negative, is that something that's important, especially if you're trying to make changes?
It's important because we have to think about what do we need to remove, what do we need to add, and make sure that when we're trying to remove or do less of something, that first off, we recognize it as a habit that's not serving us. Something that, you know, isn't helping us move forward. It's not helping us get to the outcome or the destination. So you can see in this episode, we're getting a little bit more micro, getting closer to like, how do we make our habits work? And then how do we break habits? So with the good or bad, I just want to be clear. That's how your brain, it's registering. It's not that we want to identify habits as those, but usually something you're removing, you look at it as something that's bad, something you don't want to be doing as much of.
So using the example of your mom or of any of us who get in the habit of having a glass of wine after work, if that's something that you're trying to change, where would you suggest that people start?
Start with the cue or the trigger. This is what I alluded to in the beginning of our conversation today. We start at the end of this. We usually start like right halfway. Something we haven't talked about is called a craving. Have you ever heard of a craving, Rachel? Or cravings?
I sure have, Jeff.
I bet you have cravings for very specific Special K cereal, don't you?
I love Special K with red berries.
Oh man, I tried that once. It was too berry for me. So
yes, I know, Jeff.
Cravings can happen as a result of things, as a result of cues and triggers, is what I was alluding to. And I just wanted to use Rachel's example because it's a good one. We all have things that we desire, or we all have urges that make us do something. And the making us do something is kind of that craving that becomes so powerful that it's hard to resist the glass of wine. It's hard to resist laying on the couch and not doing anything after, say, a busy day at work.
Sure. So if people are trying to make changes, you are suggesting that they start with that cue or the trigger.
100%. And that is flipping habits on the head, because what most people try to do is they just try to change the routine or the behavior. It's like, oh, I'll just do less of this. And that's all I have to do. So it goes back into that willpower, that motivation conversation. Oh, that was a nice pun, huh? Motivation conversation. Did you catch that?
Poem?
Oh, poem. Yeah, that's just right in your wheelhouse. So let's be super clear on the strategy here. Have a strategy for your cues and triggers. So if there's something that is cueing you to do something you don't want to do, let's take my mom's habit loop as an example. She needs to figure out what's the strategy that makes it easier for her to work less. So this could be, or to feel less stress when she gets home. That's another way of looking at this. So she might take a lunch break during her day. She might set something in her schedule that makes her leave work at 5 o'clock. She might, I don't know, ask her manager or have a conversation around the D word, which is called delegation. Because if you know my mom, you know me, you know a lot of folks just like you, maybe sitting at home, you might feel like at work, you're always trying to have to put everything on your back and do it yourself. And so sometimes that's a conversation of like, how can someone around me help me say no as well?
Right. Right. That's hard for people, that delegating.
Yeah. So have a cue strategy. That's the first place to start.
Great. And Jeff, we had talked last episode about the importance of recording everything. Would you suggest that people write something like this down if they're trying to come up with strategies for changing the cue or the trigger? What's the best way to keep yourself on track with that?
Yeah, nice practical question. We on campus at Skyterra Wellness Retreat, we have a class called Changing Habits. And I actually have people write out their strategies to the cue. That's the first place that we start in that class. It's a supplementary class, so we don't do it all the time. That said, though, you've got to get really specific and you've got to brainstorm a lot of different options that could help minimize the cue. So we're really talking about breaking a habit today and how to make the change fulfilling. So you have to make sure that you either eliminate or minimize the cue with whatever strategy that you write down.
And it sounds simple, but it's probably more difficult to put into practice.
It's super hard because sometimes you create a cue strategy and it doesn't work. And that's when we go back to staying stuck in a habit loop that we don't want to be in. It's the same thing on the flip side of a habit that you're trying to create to serve you. if you don't put a cue or a trigger in the right place to make it easy for you to do it, this is episode 4, then it's really hard to create a habit loop that serves you.
Got it. So with the cue and the trigger, that's again what prompts you to keep doing or stop doing the behavior.
Yes. And over time, as we've had more of the cue and triggers, we then develop what's called cravings for the routine.
Cravings for the routine.
Does that make sense? So let's go to my mom, for example. She's already driving home from that workday, didn't have her cue strategy in place. As she's getting out of her car, walking into the garage, she is already thinking about the glass of wine, so it's already too late.
So she would need to change that in some way with using the strategies that you had outlined a few minutes ago, which would be just finding ways to not feel so stressed out when she's already driving into the garage.
Exactly. And because once cravings get so strong, it's impossible to break them. And that's where that conversation of I need to be more disciplined, I need more willpower starts to creep in, where in actuality, it's not the person's fault who's trying to break the habit.
So that's the first part of that habit loop. The second part is that routine or behavior. What's the relationship between the cue and the routine?
Yeah, excellent place to segue into. The routine can be one of two things. So in this case, this example we're using for our conversation, the routine is the glass of wine. It's the behavior you either want to do less of, or it's the behavior you're trying to create. So in this example, let's say, for instance, my mom wants to drink less, or she wants to not do it as much on a weekly basis. She's going to then have to set some strategies that are going to help the routine. Like, what's the new routine that would give her the reward? Make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah. And that reward is the third piece of the habit loop.
Yeah, which is the relaxing, turning your brain off. You know, really what most of us are after if it's a habit along stress.
Sure. And I don't want to, you know, ask too many questions about your mom and her, you know, what she had gotten into with her career. But what about with you, Jeff? I know you also have long days.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, what is this anything that you've also tried to work towards in your work life? Because in your description of your mom, it did sound a lot like you. You're very driven. You're also very successful. And I'm assuming that you're also very tired at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's a nice relationship to make because, of course, we all kind of act in ways similar to the folks who brought us onto this earth. For me, I'm going to describe a flip side of what helps me in my day. So what I'm really specific about doing is moving my body before I come into work. And what is a cue and trigger for me to do that is setting my phone far away from the bedstand. Because if it's right on the bedstand, yeah, we've talked about this before in the episode. So what helps me, what cues me and triggers me to make sure I move my body is I think about what time I need to wake up tomorrow because my mornings can start a different day. So before I even am, you know, going to sleep, I'm thinking about what time I need to wake up at. And then also I'm thinking about, can I go to CrossFit? Because I have a little girl named Mia and I can't go to CrossFit at 6 a.m. if Lindsay wants to go to CrossFit. So that's where that planning piece comes in, which is part of a positive cue or trigger. If you want to achieve a habit, you want to make sure that habit that you're putting into your life serves you. You've got to think about the planning steps that are going to cue you to action. So that's one example where the reward that I receive when I do move my body is I feel more relaxed during the day. I show up more clear in meetings and I'm able to, you know, perform at a high level so that we can push this business forward.
And I think too, it sounds like you very clearly identified that cause and relationship in your mind. Like, you know what it feels like when you haven't done that, and you know what it feels like when you have. And that's got to be important too.
Yeah, you have to get connected to the reward. If it's something, if it's a habit you want in your life, you've got to really get connected to that reward. Now, if it's a bad habit, I really don't like good and bad. You know how I feel about that. But if it's a habit not serving you, then you've got to figure out, how can I still get that same reward in a healthy way? So my mom wants to relax. You know, a lot of people want to relax. You could sub out, you know, drinking wine with something else. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yes. Yes, it really does.
Yeah.
So again, that habit loop, cue, routine, reward. I do think we should move on to a reward, which is the benefit. Is there anything else you think we need to know about the routine? piece of that loop.
With routine, we've given quite a few examples here. And just to layer on what you need to do with routine is, of course, you start with a cue or trigger. You figure out what's going on there, what's leading to the routine. But with the routine, make sure you identify that new thing that you can try that's going to still give you the reward, which we're going to still give you the benefit. And so that's where we have to really get clear with what are those unhealthy habits that we're getting a benefit from, even though we really don't want to do those unhealthy habits. Make sense?
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about the benefit, which is the reward part of the habit loop. And it's important, I think, you know, in hearing you describe this, Jeff, it sounds like it's important to lay out all of these pieces so that you're really clear on what the end goal is, because the end goal is whatever that reward is. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. You've got to write out each of these steps so you know when the cravings are occurring, which is in between the cue and the routine, but then identify each of the steps that we're discussing today.
Right. So would you say that, so going back to using your mom's example, the reward for her was being able to relax at the end of the day.
Turning off, not right. having to think about work, doing something that isn't work related. And think about, you know, subbing out, drinking a glass or one or two of alcohol. You could sub that out with like, hey, just ordering in food because you don't want to. And the reward is you don't have to think about what you're going to cook for dinner. So that's another way of looking at this, where I think for a lot of people, it's like we just don't want to think at times. We just need white space because it's so jammed in with like the expectations in this world now.
Yeah. And I think too, for, you know, I've read and seen a lot, especially coming at the end of 2020, which was, you know, it was a heck of a year for sure for so many people. But that essential slowing down, as you know, as a lot of people were forced to do, kind of helped us realize that having that white space isn't necessarily such a bad thing.
That's a great point. And we've had less of it. We had so much less of it in 2020, because like, think of cues and triggers, the news, the numbers, all of that stuff, you know, changes our mindset.
Yeah. That constant barrage. Yeah. With the reward, Jeff, is there anything else that you want people to be thinking about as they're planning out their own habit loops?
This is the trickiest part of the habit loop. And I think what I want to remind everyone of is you'll go through this analysis of your habit and you'll be like, this isn't a reward. So what I want to remind you of is like, that's a normal feeling, but it is benefiting you in some way. So you have to have a heightened awareness and self-awareness and just really be honest with yourself of why you're doing what you're doing. Why is that reward? Like, why do you need that? Why is it benefiting you, even though you may think it's not benefiting you? So that's a really important point to make, because obviously someone ordering in food every single night, we all know that that doesn't benefit us. However, we still tend to fall into the trap of doing that because it is benefiting us in some way. And we've got to figure out what is the new routine that can still allow us to get that reward.
The reward, right?
Yeah.
Before I go into the summary, Jeff, is there anything else you want people to know about the habit loop?
Hopefully this has been helpful for our listeners, because next episode is going to really be about actionable ways to build new habits and the three things that it takes to create those habits. You can't do that until you understand habits the way you have today. And so what I want you to do today as kind of a final call to action is try to figure out a habit loop, something that you want to do less of in your life, and make sure that you don't fall into like all or nothing thinking. So for example, with the glass of wine, make sure that if you plug in a new routine that you're trying to do less of in 2021, make sure that you still do that, but you do it maybe, you drink the glass of wine once or twice a week versus 7 days a week, or you order in less or something like that. Make sure you don't go all or nothing with what we're discussing today.
Right. Because I think all or nothing can also lead to that good and bad thinking, which we also try to avoid.
You nailed it, Rachel.
Okay. Yeah. So in summary, today in talking about the habit loop, there are three parts of the habit loop: cue, routine, and reward. We talked about how the cue is the trigger. That's what initiates the routine. We talked about strategies for minimizing those cues. With routine and the behavior, that's the behavior that you're trying to change or create. And that's how you get connected to the reward, which is the benefit. Jeff talked about the awareness of why it's so important to figure out why that reward is benefiting you. And then the challenge for all of our listeners is, in looking at your own habit loop, find something that you want to do less of. How'd I do, Jeff?
That was rock star. Just like I know my co-host can do summaries. It happened there from the Windy City.
Yes, that's right. So next week is our fourth and last episode in our habit series, which I know everyone has been waiting for. That is the most actionable piece of this, which is how to actually make your habits stick. So we're all excited for that. The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of Skytera Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.